Talk Shoes.
Recorded live.
Tell them why your man's son. That's what we had tonight, y'all. Tell them why your man's son. That's the topic. It was given to me from my man, main man, Rodney. What we're going to do tonight is something different. And this is a trial error. But, you know, hopefully it'll work. It should work. We're going to have a two-hour open mic. Don't expect a lot of sound effects, video bites, all that stuff tonight. What we're going to do is talk. I'm going to throw a couple bones out there. If you like it, if you want to talk about it, if not, we'll move on. But, again, this is the first time. If it works, I think we'll do it once a month. We'll just have an open mic. It's not about household stress tonight. It's about our callers and what you guys want to talk about. But I will get it kicked off. And the first thing I want to talk about is priorities. And I'm going to throw mine out there. My wife is very efficient, okay? When it comes to planning trips, when it comes to doing fun stuff, she's on the ball. When it comes to recipes, getting planning parties, outings, the whole nine yards, she's like the best. Okay, but when there's issues that we have to deal with that are important pertaining to marriage, sometimes she draws a blank. And my issue with that is, why can't we put that same focus on all this fun stuff that you're so resourceful into finding solutions to problems that we're having in our marriage, that we're having. I'm not saying that we're having them, but sometimes we do, and I feel as though that the priorities get shifted, you know. Can anybody identify with that? Where sometimes we think that, you know, their priorities are so much different than ours, but we should be on the same page at least 80% of the time?
Yeah, well, I mean, not on the same page, but close, same book, I guess, is probably the better term. But I don't know what that is about the whole, you know, where they can get, you know, whether it be work or, like you say, the planning of everything else. But I don't know why it's not a priority. I don't know what, well, you know, where that's rooted in or when that takes place. But, you know, so I don't know how to explain that. Maybe somebody else can, but.
I think sometimes it probably goes both ways. Kind of like in my situation where I might consider something a priority, she may not. But if the table was flipped, there's something that she makes it a priority and I may not, but I'm not going to get all uptight about it. It's just me. You know, it's like if. Like for example, with our daughter, I got an issue with the room. She doesn't think it's a priority. Fine. But let her buy something new, like the bed, and the bed is messed up. Oh, she has an issue with it because the bed is messed up. In which she spent her money, well, we spent our money, and it's something that she takes pride in because it's hers. But I said, okay, what about our daughter? So the priorities are mixed up. It's okay for you, but it's not okay for her. So for me, I don't see the consistency. And it's sort of like when I look at my priorities, I guess what I'm trying to say is that there's not a sense of understanding of the priority. Yeah, I don't have to necessarily look at it as a priority, but at least understand and somewhat sympathize why I'm so frustrated. Don't get mad at me because my priority isn't your priority. Just understand, see, I understand, blah, 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 and then work with me, rather than saying just brush it off. Because when you brush it off, you get a sense that it'll never be a priority.
I think you said a key phrase there when you said that your priority is not her priority and vice versa. And, you know, it's a compromise, you know, and I think, you know, it seems like sometimes that we're more often willing to compromise, you know, in that respect, where maybe they don't as much. I don't know if I can get an agreement on that.
You know, I'm not trying to like, if I agree and say, okay, fine, you know, for the sake of the argument, I agree. Don't patronize me. I'm not patronizing. What I'm saying is that I'm willing to meet you halfway to avoid the argument. And sometimes, okay. You know, I think with her, she's not willing, you know, she ain't willing to do it.
Oh, cool. Good words. Is it a situation sometimes where she gets preoccupied? And I know we deal with that a lot with the multitasking of our wives. And we talk about how well do it. But I'm going to throw this out here. Are we okay when our wife is multitasking while she's having sex with us?
No. Heck no. I'm not.
I mean, do we even think about it that way?
I'm thinking I ain't doing my job.
She text messaging in the middle of the act. Oh man.
Yeah, I mean, for those who don't know, we do have a women's call, and some of the information that I got from the women's call, and they have admitted that while making love to their husband, their mind is running 100 miles an hour in total different directions. And we put our best foot forward, and they think it's about ETA meetings, baking cookies, working overtime, what the kids are doing in the next room, all of that. You know what I mean? And to me, that's a problem. For me, that's a problem because I want all the attention. I don't want you to bring all that drama to the bedroom because that's when other issues start. Any words on it? Okay, well, I might be a little touchy. No problem.
Hold on, Tom. I believe that's the difference between sex and intimacy, though. You know, men, we want all of our lives. We don't want, you know, that one part of you, like, here, you can have me, but I'm thinking about this bill from yesterday. You know, it takes a lot to manage romance in your bedroom. And for that time, that's the only time you may only have together during that night, you know, because you're dealing with the kids and work and, you know, get prepared for tomorrow. You might only have that moment. You don't want to be thinking about other things. Or doing other things when you have that moment. That's your special time.
Okay, good words. Anybody else? I'm letting somebody else talk. I'm trying to switch this line because my connection is bad. Okay. Give me one second.
Somebody washing dishes or something. Cooking.
Testing 1, 2.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Much better.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Patrice, I hate to ask you this, but I got half of what you said, man. Because my phone is so bad. I want to address it, but I got half of what you said. If you could just repeat half of it.
Hey, no.
Because I know there's some good words.
I was just talking about, you know, the only time we may have with our wives that is that during the day is at that time, at night, where you don't want to be just having sex. You want that intimacy. It goes back to that intimacy versus sex call where, you know, that time is sacred. You don't want to be thinking about the bill from yesterday. Hey, why are you having sex with your wife? You want all of her. You know,
yeah.
Mind, peace, and soul.
Yeah. Tell them why you're mad, son. Tell them why you're mad.
Yeah, because, I mean, you just got to think about it. I mean, you got kids, you know, food, getting prepared for tomorrow. You know, you do all that, and you rush, and your mind's in all the five different places. But when it's time to go to bed, you ain't behind those closed doors. That's relaxation time, and that's husband and wife time. So I can see where people will be upset.
So, exactly, because that's your time. I mean, that's how we look at it. We like, it's my time. We may, you know, I guess the correct way to say it is our time, but as men, that's my time. And why is your mind preoccupied? The other time, we had an audio clip on one of our calls where we experienced that. I forget what the number was, but it was a crazy number of 2,000 women. I was 40 or 60% of 2,000 women were thinking about other men while having sex with their husbands. Does anybody remember what that number was? What the percentage was?
63%.
63%. 63%. So what do you think the percentage of your wives that are thinking about multitasking while having sex with you?
I'm saying as men, do we multitask?
Hmm?
Do we multitask?
I've been guilty of it. I'd be like, oh, man, the game about to come on. We definitely got to hurry up.
That's just bad timing.
Huh?
Well, that's just bad timing.
So pretty cool.
That's get in, get out. I understand. I mean, sometimes, you know, you got to stop clock running. We got to be done by 8 o'clock. You know, but anyway, is anybody having any issues? And I don't want to do all the talking tonight because this is open mic. So, again, like I'm going to throw it out there. And if anything you guys want to talk about, got on your chest, please just jump at it. But I will throw a couple topics out there to get this thing rolling. I want to talk about Facebook because I had a friend of mine once come to me and tell me that if his wife goes on Facebook another night, they was getting a divorce.
Wow.
Facebook, Facebook was getting more play than the marriage.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying? And it happens. It happens.
Facebook is a drug.
Yeah, it is. It is. But, you know, there's got to be some type of anti-drug for it. You know, and I don't really know that many guys that are on as much as women. And I could be wrong. Maybe y'all know something different. But most of the times when I get these updates, they're from women. Not that I know, you know, not women, personal friends, but, you know, whatever the case may be, but more women than men.
I think
that
goes
back. Are you experiencing that where it's like, honey, stop with the Facebook already. Come to bed or, you know, do something around the house, get off the Facebook. Or when you call them at work, you know, they're posting stuff while they're at work, supposed to be working.
I don't have that problem. My wife is, she says Facebook is for losers. So she's not even on any of that stuff. But that's another story. But I think that, you know, what you said about the majority of women being on Facebook rather than men, I think what Patrice said earlier is the lack of intimacy and where, you know, you can get on Facebook and be whoever you want to be or whatever the case may be, but they don't have that with their husband or their man. So that's why they're so busy on Facebook, because it's no level of intimacy with their significant other. So that's why they're hanging out on Facebook for hours or days on end.
You think?
Yep. I don't think. I know so. That's why I say my wife ain't even on Facebook. She don't need to run the Facebook. Oh, I'm kidding. But
I mean, your wife is private. It is what it is, and that's
She's that's very
listen,
private.
But I'm gonna touch on that in a minute. I'm gonna touch on private lives in a minute. But the Facebook part can definitely be a distraction. I think on both sides.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard, I mean, if you blog it on Google, there's plenty of blogs of people talking about how Facebook has just destroyed the marriage, you know, especially when it comes to the fact that your wife is hooking up or you're hooking up with old friends from the past, stuff that was dead and buried coming back to life, You know what I mean? And it's like, okay, we're just friends, Facebook friends, yeah, but I ain't cool with the back and forth dialogue. You know what I mean? So, but it happens.
Do you have any rules?
You're not the kind of guy to check up.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Do y'all have any rules on Facebook as far as, you know, what's acceptable and what's not, as it relates to friends and chats and all that stuff? Do y'all have any guidelines, you and your missus?
So my guideline, I tell you, you got your group of friends, I got my group of friends. And I pretty much leave it at that. You know, I leave it up to her discretion to know what's acceptable or not. We're not even on friends on Facebook.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. Why is that? Why is that?
But don't get me wrong, everybody knows that she's my wife. I'm not hiding that. They can look at the pictures. It's just not, because when I first initially went on Facebook, it was as part of my class reunion. So I was connecting with people from my class reunion. I had no idea it was going to turn into what it turned into, connecting with people. Yeah, and we have some of the same set of friends, but for the most part, we don't have the same set of friends. So, you know, sometimes I would find her friends trying to connect with me. I'm like, I don't know who this person is. Yeah, you know my wife, but I don't know you, so I don't need to be your friend. You know, so because, you know, you find, you know, just for me, and I know some a buddy of mine, he's married, he found that out. He's like, man, I don't know some of my wife's friends. So basically they're not friends on there, just to avoid the confusion, because sometimes you can read too much into a message and take it the wrong way.
Yep.
And, my friend could say something and it can totally blown out of context. But my friends are respectful. No one cusses on my stuff. You cuss, I'll give you a warning, then I'll take you off. It's that simple. You know, you don't say, you know, I have, like, open forums where I may bring up a topic and we'll talk about it. But once you start attacking someone's character or calling them names, you got to get off.
Whose decision was that?
Huh?
Whose decision was that? Was it your wife's decision or your decision whether y'all were going
to
be friends or not on Facebook?
I got on Facebook first. She didn't want nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I ain't getting on Facebook. And the next thing I know, she was on it. And then I saw a request for a friend. I said, why are you cussing my friend?
Okay, wait. Hold on. I can't hold it in no longer. I'm going to say it. Tell them why you're mad, son. What did you do when you was pulling out your profile and asked you, married or not married, or in a relationship?
I'm married.
It's going to be married.
Oh, okay. So you put married.
Yeah.
And it doesn't say married to?
No, because the other thing, if they want to know, they go in the picture. They can just look at her picture. But it's sometimes, you know, I look at it is that my wife has a group. You know, I try to keep it private as possible. Because, you know, I have people connecting to me that I don't even know who they are. They want to be my friend. Who are you? I said, do I know you from somewhere? And, you know, I kind of mainly do it for privacy because I figured that my friends can take care of themselves. The other ones, they can say no or yes. But anyone who connects to her and says mutual friend of Derek, he's like, okay, Derek must know this person. No, I don't, you know.
So you literally, when your wife friended you, you went and asked her, like, why are you friending me on Facebook? That is hilarious. I'm
because I said so, man. Just say it.
Everybody who's on my page as a friend, I would probably say 80% of them know who my wife is. The other 20 that may know her by picture, but they really don't know her. But about 80% at least met her. They seen her, you know. So
why aren't y'all friends? I don't understand why y'all can't be friends. I don't understand.
But she just has a group. I don't even go on her page. I care less. They're her group of friends, because most of them, I'm like, I don't even know. I'm like, I don't know who these people are. And then what happens, sometimes you start looking into things, and I'm the type that if you go fishing and looking for something, you're going to find it. And I don't want to
fishing. Maybe not.
Huh?
But maybe not. Maybe not.
Yeah, maybe not. But at the same time, I look, and like I said, when I initially did it, I did it as a form of connecting with my high school classmates for their reunion. And, you know, just a group of friends that I have. We probably share, I'm saying maybe 30 friends. Maybe 30.
Okay.
Out of the 710, we don't share, so there's no common connection.
I think you need 711.
710 Facebook friends?
Yeah, I think you need 711. Make your wife number 711.
But I'm saying there's no qualms about it. I'm saying if she ever wants to go in there and say, who is this, I will tell her this is who this is. You know, I ain't hiding nothing. I'm saying she can see my friend. You know, it's nothing
to
hide.
Yeah, but... Yeah, but back to Rodney's question, and not to put you out there. Do you think that maybe in the back of her mind she thinks maybe he might be hiding something, but I don't really feel like getting into it? How come we not friends? How come I can't get on his stuff on his wall?
I would say no, because some of her, because think about it, some of her mutual friends are my friends, so if they really want, you know, they could investigate for if they wanted to.
Don't you have old girlfriends as part of your 710 friends?
Yeah, that I know.
Gotta be some old girlfriends that mix.
Oh,
not
yeah.
You know, like,
several.
Sandra's a friend.
Yeah, but Sandra's my wife. I mean, we're talking about old girlfriends.
That came out wrong.
No, I understand what he's saying. We talking about old girlfriends, not the
right.
Details that you know.
Then you called out your wife. That's why I said it came out wrong.
My old girlfriends of hers?
No, yours. Your old flamers.
No.
I know who they are. I'm just like, you know, it's no big secret. They married. They whatever.
But here's the method to the madness, which makes sense. If Sandra's his Facebook friend, then she can see that he's doing nothing. You see what I'm saying? So she can go back and report. You could, because women talk, you know. Well, yeah, I ain't seen nothing on the Facebook page. You ain't got nothing to worry about.
Yeah, because, you know, the way I look at it, my exes were my friends after that. So it's not like we stopped being friends. Now, it'd be different if we was kicking it. I ain't talked to you since we kicked it. No, so, hey, you know. But we were friends. And that's probably, I guess, an advantage, or it could be an advantage or disadvantage, is that I was always a good friend. Although the relationship may not have happened the way we wanted to, I was always a good friend. And, you know, I have friends that I've known since I was in third grade, and I still speak with that are on my, you know, Facebook. Where you know her from? I know her since third grade. Oh. You know, when I'm supposed to stop being friends, you know. You know, now, if somebody puts something disrespectful, I let them know, hey, you can't be putting that stuff on my page. Oh, I'm sorry. You know, what you doing? You know, especially because some people don't understand the wall and a comment. When you write on a person's wall, pretty much everyone sees it.
Correct.
So,
you know, come to think of it, I don't even know, honestly, come to think of it, I don't even know if my wife and I are Facebook friends.
And I'll be honest, I don't know.
I mean, listen. I don't know. I listed her as my wife on Facebook. But I don't know if it was ever a be my friend type thing. You know what I'm saying? And I don't even know if there's a difference. She's listed married to my wife, whatever. You can go on my page, click her, and be on her page. But I don't really know if we ever did the whole be my friend thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Well, I know for a fact.
I mean, it's a given. I could go on her page, she can go on my page, but...
They could just click on my pictures and see it.
Yeah.
I know for a fact that me and my wife are not friends on Facebook.
Why not?
She's not on Facebook.
Because she's private, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That moves into the next...
Got on there.
That moves into the next... Okay, go ahead.
You know, friends, just to say hello, she probably would. And that's how Erica was. Erica was like, I ain't getting on there. And all of a sudden, she goes, wow, I haven't seen her in years. And, you know, a guy with the basic training would find out that I knew him and she knows him. So, you know, it was like a small world.
We're going to move to another topic. And that's pretty much
what you got.
Huh?
Can I come up with a topic or you have one?
You want one? Go ahead. I got one, but if you got it, it's open mic. Do your thing.
Okay. For me, and you know, maybe some brothers can attest, why is it when my wife or your significant other has a function, she's always on time, ready to go. But when you have a function, she always late, making you late. Got her stuff together, but when it's yours, oh, well, why are you rushing me?
That's easy.
I want to know.
I got the answer to that one.
That's an easy one. Somebody can go ahead.
It's not like it's a one-time thing.
And then
when you don't, but see, here's the catch. When you don't invite because of this, are you wrong?
You want it, Rodney?
I'll let somebody else get it. I don't want y'all the whole time.
That again?
I'm going to tell you like this. I had to learn the hard way. And the reason why I had to learn, because my wife broke down and told me one day. She said, look, I just don't know these people. I don't feel comfortable going around people I don't know.
Well, I was going to say.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But go ahead.
I was going to say that, I was going to say that your event is not that important to her.
Well, I've noticed that, but,
yeah.
You know.
And the thing is that, you know, you have to tap into, just like you said, you're on time, you know, and she's on time for her events. You know, you're not, you know, making her late for her events, so you obviously know it's important to her and you don't want to, you know, make her late. So that's just like the host was saying earlier about priorities. It's not a priority for her to be at your event on time. So, I mean, that's a deeper issue than the actual event. She's just like, I don't even care about us getting there on time because your event ain't that important to me for whatever reason, and that's what you got to tap into.
Well, makes sense. Makes sense. I mean,
okay, I told you that was easy.
Yeah, I mean, it may not be the case. Hopefully, it's not the case in his situation, but it definitely makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Not that important. You know, and maybe somewhere along the line she felt as though that her events weren't that important. Because, you know, we talked about her events where you feel as though you don't really know those people either. And you're like, okay, I got to go. You know what I mean? Because that's what happened to me. I was like, do I really have to go? You know, because everybody knows my wife speaks Spanish and so her family speaks Spanish. And I don't really understand a lot. You know what I mean? Especially when they get into it. But, I mean, it's not all Spanish, but sometimes I'm like, okay, you know, my Spanish ain't that strong. You know, so sometimes I don't really understand. But I still go, you know. But sometimes she feels as though I don't want to go. So when it comes down to my thing, she may say, well, you don't really want to go to mine. I already know this. So maybe I don't really want to go to yours. So it might be turned into a tit-for-tat thing. Who knows?
So you're mad because you don't speak Spanish that well.
No. I wish I did. I should be mad at myself. I grew up in the Spanish Harlem. I should know how to speak Spanish.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I should know how to speak Spanish. That's my fault. You know, that's no, by no way her issue. That's mine. But the fact still remains, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
I got a reason I'm pissed off.
Go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it's actually a couple. I'd say the first one, and you know, maybe this isn't such a big deal, but my fiance has a nephew, and, you know what I'm saying, a nephew is her brother's son who happens to be, you know, staying. They currently still live, you know, with their parents. Everybody still lives at their house, and the nephew still lives there. And the nephew actually goes to work with my fiance, because he's, you know, she's a teacher at a childcare school, and the nephew started going there, and he's just bad. I mean, he's just a little caring. I mean, maybe he's the victim of the whole broken home thing. You know, his parents are broken up, but whatever reason, you know, he likes to show out and give her a real hard time while, you know, she's at work. You know what I mean? You know, sometimes he even goes as far as, you know what I mean, hitting her, and, you know, and he's, and over the last 2 weeks, he has socked her in her face, like, you know what I mean, twice now. And, you know, she's so, you know, so nice, you know, she doesn't want to punish him. She'll take him home and she'll tell his dad, and his dad might give him, you know, a little spank on the butt. But I'm to the point where I'm getting, like, angry. Like, I'm telling her, look, talk to my friends, whip this boy's little ass. You know what I mean? He's 4 years old. He needs to learn better than to stop putting his hands on people, let alone his aunt. Now, if he comes around me and he does that in front of me, I'm going to whip his little ass. And, you know what I mean, I'm going to be having it out with her father. But... And with his father, she doesn't understand that, you know what I mean, that's real personal to me. Like, when I was younger, I knew to keep my hands to myself, and I knew not to tantrum, especially in public. But, I don't know if it's the way she was raised or the way, you know, they're raising this boy, But, you know, then he just feeling like he can act out. And I need her to understand that she needs to check him. Because, like I said, if he does that in front of me, it's going to be a huge problem.
Tell him why you're mad, son.
Good words. Good words. Good words. Hey, but listen, it's true. It's true. Somebody got to step up. Somebody got to step up. You know what I'm saying? And the bad part about that is there's a father involved. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if the father's stepping up or not, but it may be a confrontation later with him. But somebody got to step up and check the kids. When kids get out of line, you got to check them right then and there. If you let them get away with it for 5-10 minutes, they're going to keep doing it. Somebody got to check.
That has me angry, fellas, as you can tell.
Good word.
Hey, that's why we here. Tell them why you mad, son. I mean, it is what it is. We don't normally do this, but it's good because it's healthy. And we get to talk about, you know, issues that we're having and get the view from the panel. Anybody else got anything they want to? Go ahead.
I got one more, if someone else ain't got to go.
Let's go.
Yeah, my second one. It was Father's Day this past week, and happy Father's Day to all the fathers. I'm not one as of yet, as I, shouldn't be, because I'm not married. But
That you know of.
Good point. Good point. Need to qualify that statement. This past weekend or whatever, we did our thing, me and my fiance, we did our thing with my father, and then, she said her, her family was doing something like a little bowling event later that, the mom wanted to throw a big event, a big surprise, big bowling event for the brothers. It's two brothers. The sister has a boyfriend. And, there was two kids. So let's just say all together it was 11 of us. So I'm like, okay. So, she invited me to come along. I'm like, all right, that's cool. I'll go along. I'm just going intending on paying for my, for myself and for my fiance for our bowling. We get up to the counter, and, I'm like, okay, what's going on? All the men show up, all the kids there, some of the girlfriends are there. We get up to the counter, the whole bill, say the whole bill comes up to $150. Well, the mother, this is my fiance's mother, puts up $25. She's the one who threw the event, and she puts up $25. And so my fiance's sister was like, put the rest on my card. I felt bad, so I'm like, nah, she ain't got to do that. She can split the rest. Me and her split the rest, which was like $60 a piece. So, I just did that because I didn't want to embarrass the mom and tell all these other men who got, invited there, hey, look, y'all need to be coming out of your pockets or, what the case was. But, here I am. I'm the only father, and I'm basically the outsider on the family, and I'm putting up the most money for the whole bowling event, and it was the mother who threw it. And, I wasn't going to say anything, but I had to talk to my fiance later on, and she said, yes, baby, I'm so sorry. My mom has a habit of, doing that, of, having these wonderful ideas, but, other people end up having to come out of the pockets for it. And I'm like, yo, you need to check that. You need to check this fast. That's the mentality that, I'm just not cool with. Like, that's not okay with me. So, I don't know how to approach this clearly. I was talking to Rodney the other day, and, I got to keep my in-laws somewhat at a distance. I really can't go to them with my problems, but I don't know if I conveyed to her that I really want her to talk to her mom about that and talk to her about it fast.
But what compelled you to want to put up $60, though?
It was just because, the mom had only put up 25, and the rest of the bill was 120. So her daughter, who a lot of times gets, caught with, the entire bill, for a lot of things, she's about to get laid off from her job. She works for a bank, and she's about to get laid off in the next month or whatever. So, at the time, I was like, well, dang, I don't want her to get caught with the rest of this check. I was just intending on paying for me and my girl, which would only been, like, say, $20 or so. So I was like, yeah, whatever. Just, split it between me and her. So, but it was just the fact that, yo, if the mom's throwing an event, the way I'm raised, if my mom's throwing an event, she's either going to let everybody know, up front, hey, make sure you have your money, or, my mom, she's going to pay for everything. So
Your fiance, that was her mom that threw the event?
Yeah, it was her mom that threw the event.
Okay, well. Just me, I would probably sit down with your fiance and say, look, is there anything I need to know before it happens? Because she pretty much knew this was going to happen. She told you after the fact. Now, she told you before the fact, and then you had time to think about
Right.
You know, another way to look at it is, I mean, this is bigger than you. This is something that's been going on before you even came into the picture. So you learn from it this time, you put up 60. But the next time, you know, whether a person is not going to have a job, or mom's only going to put up 25 or not, you just pay for you and your fiance or your wife at the time, if it's later after y'all got married, and just roll with it. Because this is what they've been doing. So it doesn't matter, you know, whether or not you come in and now you're thinking, hey, you know what, dear, you need to talk to your mom, figure this out, because if she's throwing something, she needs to recognize that she needs to either tell people up front or she needs to go ahead and pay for it all. That might be how you do it, but in their household, obviously, this is how they do it. Mm. So I wouldn't even feel compelled to even do that. I'd be like, you know what? I'm going to pay this 20 for the two of us, and that's it.
That's what's up.
I think that's what's up. We had a conversation with your fiancé to say, look, we won't go to these gatherings, but you don't reach for your wallet, and I'm not going to reach for mine, aside from the paying for the two of us. Because all these people going to come, because it seems like what's happening is all these people came, they're used to the fact, too, that somebody usually steps up and picks it up.
Right.
And it just happened to be you this time.
Check it. What you do is you give her mom the money before y'all leave. You give her mom the 20 at the house. And then you just go ahead and get your bowling ball, you know, hang out at the arcade when they try to work it. Well, you know, like, y'all gave the moms the 20 at the house, so I'm good. We good. We ready. Let me put my name in.
Exactly. That's
good words. Yeah, I mean, or you pull out the hat and you walk around with the hat. Okay, you put the money in the hat. You know you bowled, you know you showed up, you know you ate some wings, you drank some beer, whatever, put the money in the hat. Dip in your pocket,
yeah.
Well, we got to get this bill paid.
Hey, you might want to say to the one that's about to get laid off, say, yeah, you shouldn't be bowling anyway. Let me just move past you and go to the next person.
I heard that. Anybody else got anything they want to tell about being mad?
I do. I want to tell y'all why I'm mad. Okay. I'm mad at the whole point, the whole miscommunication. Why is it we can't, you know, men and women, our signals just ain't right. We can say this, I mean, some of the same, you know, it just, to me it makes sense. And it's like, how come it don't make sense to you? And vice versa. It's like, why is all the time our signals are getting crossed, whereas what we attempt to articulate doesn't come off as it should, or, you know, the tone is, you know, look, I know my brother P can speak on that, the tone wasn't right. And it's like, come on. I mean, what's up with the miscommunication, fellas? Maybe I'm the only one dealing with it, but I'm just mad with the whole just miscommunication in general.
And I can answer that. It's because it's not a miscommunication. What I've come to realize, our women, they know exactly what we're trying to convey. But believe it or not, I honestly believe sometimes they really just want to be pissed off at us. Like, regardless of, you know what I mean, what you said, how you said it, they know what you meant. But you know what? Right now, I feel like chewing Rodney out, so I'm about to take what he just said, flip it around so I have a reason to be mad at him, so that way I can express myself. Because a lot of times women have a hard time expressing themselves to the people that they're actually pissed off at, or the people they're actually mad at. Like, they might be angry, you know, at, you know, somebody at their job, or, you know, one of their relatives. But you know what? They just weren't bold enough to say what they had to say to them. So here I have my husband, who's right here, who really hasn't done anything wrong. I understand exactly what he is saying, but you know what? I feel like being pissed off right now, so I'm going to go ahead and just let him have it. So, you know, I mean, I wouldn't even really overanalyze it too much, my man, because I think it's just a lose-lose situation.
Good words.
And I think sometimes, because I know, like, this past weekend, she wasn't hungry. This particular day, she wasn't hungry. I'm like, cool. So she said, well, I'm going to want to go out to eat later. I'm like, okay. I'm about to start some work. I said, look, well, it's 7:30. Do you want to go now? She said, no, we're going to go in about a half hour because I see you about to do your work. Now, was I stopping her from wanting to go out to eat? No. She could have simply went. So what happened? We go out about 8:30, something like that. My son, he's getting cranky. I know he's about ready to go to sleep. That's the attitude with me because I'm the one that caused her go to the to want to eat at 8 o'clock. I was like, how's that my fault? I'm trying to figure this one out. Well, if you, but how's that my fault? What was stopping you from saying, look, let's go eat now?
Driving down my street now, bro.
Next thing I know, it turned to a big argument. And I'm thinking, how's that my fault? I was mad. I'm sitting there like, okay, he pissed off at me. And I ain't even think of
it. I didn't think I did anything.
Hey, look, you just pulled up into my driveway just now. And I talked about this the other week on open mic. And that's the same question I asked. How is it my fault? Why am I to blame for everything that just don't go right? Even the stuff I got nothing to do with. He ain't have nothing to do with that. If you're not hungry, then you ain't hungry. If you eat later, then you eat later. It is what it is. How is it my fault when you decide to eat? You know what I'm saying? You got to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning to go to work. You tired. How is that my fault? What does it got to do with me? If I don't have to get up at 6. You know what I mean? I get to sleep in late, but that's my fault. I mean, think about it, man. I mean, seriously, we get blamed for stuff we didn't even think that we had anything to do with, but just being there. What was that Richard Pryor say? He said, why'd you shoot everybody in the house? Because they was home. You know what I'm saying? Because we up in there. I mean, does anybody got anything on that? Because I know it's just not me and D.
No, they have a tendency to do that. They'll definitely flip something around, you know, and it is quite frustrating because you sit there and you say to yourself, I know that I am purposely keeping my tone low, I'm not using hand gestures, and I pose this in a positive manner. How now is this wrong? It's like it doesn't matter. You can't win for losing because it's like you listen to them, you take into consideration what they've asked you to do, you apply that, and that's still wrong. Because then what it gets, it's like, it just seems like it's never enough. It's like you do 5 steps, there's still 2 more steps. Then you do those 2 steps, there's another 3 steps. It just continues to go back further and further and further. It's like this carrot that you can never get to. And what ends up happening is it continues to get flipped because they see it as just being something, well, you're doing it, but it's not genuine. Well, wait a minute. What are you talking about? I'm doing it, it's not genuine. I'm trying to apply something that I think it is genuine. I'm listening to what you said, and I'm applying it. And you now sitting there trying to judge it, and then you're finding fault and all these little crevices and cracks and trying to, I mean, it's just random. It's exhausting. I'm going to be honest with you. You get to a certain point where you just say, you know what, whatever. You'll come around. And that's unfortunate, but that's really at some point the stance you got to take. Because I'm not going to sit there and go back and forth and play this game where you're acting like you're stupid when you're not. You're not stupid. You're not stupid at all. But ultimately, sometimes that's how I think they want to play it. And I don't know. It's just better to sometimes. And it reminds me of, seriously, like being back in middle school with these little middle school girls. And they doing all the shenanigans and whatnot. And you just start ignoring them. They'll come around.
Good word.
And it's a shame you have to do that with your big grown wife. Or a big grown significant other. It doesn't make any sense. But okay, we can play that game.
Good words, good words. Great way to answer that one. Anybody else got any anything to bring to the table?
Yeah, speaking
tell
of...
Tell them why you're mad, son.
Yeah, I just... we were talking about Facebook earlier. Just found a Tell Them Why You Mad Son Facebook page. tell them why you mad son Facebook page where you get it off your chest. Tell them why you mad, so... You folks on Facebook,
yeah.
Go sign up. They got 62 members.
I want to touch on something else. I want to touch on the private wife. The private wife that, and not to talk to anybody particular on this call, because I know, you know, a lot of us have private wives, but the private wife that don't say much. And it's good when your wife doesn't discuss your businesses out the street. But sometimes when like if your wife is not a authority on marriage or a professional married person, and what I mean by that is somebody that's been married for 20, 30 years, been in it, sometimes you need to seek advice from someone other than your husband. And when that extra super private wife has a dilemma, how does she handle it if she's not talking to anybody that can give her good advice? Or she may be talking to someone that can give her bad advice that's bringing drama into your household. Co-workers, sisters, hold on, family members, church members, girlfriends at the club, or whatever the case may be, ex-boyfriends. You know, but they get this advice that has nothing to do with bringing closure to issues in your marriage. Has anybody got that kind of wife that's just so private, you know what I mean, that you don't know where they go to get the right help when they need it in the marriage? Or you disagree with the people that they're talking to in reference to solving their problems that's happened in your marriage?
Now, Tony, you did say earlier that you were going to talk about that private wife, and now you on my street. Now you in my living room. Turn the TV on, because this is what I'm talking about here. Because, like you said, it's the whole idea that reaching out to somebody that will give you good advice is almost I think it's a pride issue, because by you reaching out, that would indicate that, yeah, we're having some marital problems. Everybody does. That's why we're on this phone right now. You know, so the whole thing about it is that you could be so private, but I think it's more than privacy. It's more about pride. And, you know, and the whole thing about, well, I don't want to, you know, I know she's my good girlfriend and she'll give me good advice, but I don't want her to know that, you know, you a sucker. I'm like, she ain't going to think I'm a sucker. I mean, because they probably got marital problems too, you know. So, but I think it's more about, you know, pride reaching out and, you know, just that whole idea and that persona that everything is good over here. And that's not reality. It's that, you know, it ain't like we head to divorce court. I mean, so it's like, it's this whole, you know, two extremes where it's like, you know, you can reach out to somebody without it being like the whole, you know, big situation. It could just be like you said, it could be good advice. But the fact that she wants to remain private, it's like, what kind of advice are you getting? Who are you getting your advice from? Nobody. How about your cynical self? You know, it's just like that's a bad combination. Because, I mean, the advice that they give themselves is always going to have a negative tone to it anyway. You know, whereas that other person can be objective, say, hey, have you looked about it this way? Have you thought about it from this angle? But you're not going to get that, you know, from yourself.
No.
Yep. That's very true.
Anybody want to reflect on that?
My wife is the same way. You know, she doesn't really look to venture outside of herself for a lot of the decisions and questions that she has, because, you know, her big thing is she's never really relied on people to do too much. She doesn't even have conversations with her mother, her sister, any of her aunts, nobody. You know, it'll be the type of thing where if we can't talk about it, it doesn't really get talked about. She focuses in on her own. And for her, it's like she's always, the glass is always half full. So everything that she sees as a decision is positive. And she's always thinking positive, and I'm just like, wait a minute, that is totally negative, but you want it to be positive, so you are just going down a path that is not even going to be correct, and that ultimately creates conflict with us. And sometimes what creates dilemmas for me is I can't be that girlfriend, you know? Can't be that woman that, you know, like your mother or like your sister can be, or your aunt or somebody, or just a good girlfriend to just give you that womanly advice to say, hey, look here, girl, this is what you need to do, and boom, boom, bam, you know, and even if you don't do it, you should consider this, you know. But it's like, for her, for whatever reason, she can't do that. And it's really difficult, because there's times that we're places, I'll give you a good example. We were just recently somewhere, and where were we? Yeah, we were at some picnic or something, and the women were sitting around having this conversation about how, you know, this woman was saying how her husband doesn't want to do certain things in the house or doesn't want to do certain things and doesn't want to go out and be involved in different things like shopping and colors and patterns and this, that, and the other. And one of the women spoke up and said, yeah, you know, sometimes it's all right to allow men not to be concerned with those things and just recognize that it's really not that important to them. To make them be concerned about it is actually going to cause more problems than it is going to be positive. And I'm sitting there saying, right. So I'm like edging, I'm nudging my wife, moving her over to this conversation that she's just going to pick up on some of this stuff and hear these other women saying, yeah, you know what, you do have to respect those differences. That's when you do things with somebody else, blah, blah, blah. You think my wife went over there?
Nope.
You think she was over there? No. Where was she? Over there looking at the World Cup.
brother, man, let me tell you, you know, again, this is on my street as well, but what you have to realize is that the whole, I admire the fact that our wives want to come only to us, you know, to...
Yeah, I give you that, yeah.
You know, I admire that. But the whole thing is that we have a history. So those little things,
yeah.
You know, like you just said, where if you didn't go and do the patterns and the colors and all that, she can remember that. Whereas that lady, you know, she ain't got no, you know, she ain't got no history with that lady. It's like it's not coming from anywhere, any place that's negative. It's just like it is what it is. So she would receive that better versus if, you know, if it was you saying the exact same thing, she'd be like, I remember when we was at the mall and you were just acting a fool, you know, because you didn't want to be there, blah, blah, blah. Then it's like all blown out of proportion where it's like, but I'm saying the same thing that this lady says, but
right.
It's all about the history, you know, and y'all have a history. That's why it's difficult, you know, that's why they need that objective point of view, that somebody that doesn't have a history and is not, you know, like you say, in competition or whatever the case may be with you, you know, over some things. And, you know, just somebody objective. You're somebody that's, you know, not, you know, on one side or the other about the situation.
Right. But you know what's crazy about this whole thing is the fact that I think, honestly, it stings me even worse when somebody that's objective, and I sometimes encourage her to be out there and go and do other things, get other opinions, but it really hurts me even worse when somebody completely random or some book or something that she can read says exactly what I'm saying, and she come back and repeat it to me, and I'd be like, but I said that to you. and I say it to her like, look, I didn't come at you with any malice. I didn't come at you with any frustration. I just calmly shared with you what could potentially be an outcome or how we should go about things. And you just totally disregard it. Now, this random book or this random person at some meeting says something, and you come back and you're sharing it with me like it's like this grand idea, like you found electricity.
But, brother, I will tell you this. Just be glad that she received it. You
yeah,
know,
I tell you, but
know,
that does burn me up. I'm not gonna lie to you. Because
we hope that it comes from us, but sometimes it's gotta come from, and that's why we encourage them. It's like get another opinion, get a second, a third opinion. I don't care, because I think, you know, again, the whole thing is that they're gonna think that, well, I don't want her to, you know, be looking at you in a bad light or think you're bad. I was like, she ain't gonna think that about me, because I mean, I'm not a bad husband. Period. You know, so
well,
just get that out of your mind.
Well, Rodney, I'm getting ready to take this Hummer, and I'm going to further drive break into the foundation of somebody's driveway. And like I was saying earlier, see, there's a reason why we're here at this juncture, because like I was saying earlier, it's about priority. It's deeper than that. They can multitask. They can say, okay, well, I've got this assignment at work that's making me get home from work where I got to do research. I got to go to borders. I got to do this. I got to do this. My child's got this report due, and I got to do research with him or her. You see what I'm saying? I got family coming up. I got to do this, that, and the other, prepare, because, you know, we got to look good when the people come. I mean, the house got to be clean, spotless, all that. I got to figure all these things out. But when it comes to their marriage, to take some pride and put it in the back pocket and say, let me go talk to Miss Sue that lives down the street that's been married for 20 years and see what she has to give me that can help me. They're so private, they won't even do that. But they'll do everything else that has this pseudo-importance but really doesn't have importance, means nothing, because it's all, at the end of the day, material stuff. But when it comes to that marriage piece, I'm too busy. I got too much pride, or it's nobody else's business. While, meanwhile, it's deteriorating right before their eyes. And they're like, I don't know what to do because I've got too much pride, or I got too much secrecy, or whatever the case may be. So that whole secrecy piece is good, but I think it can be a double-edged sword in a marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, my thing is that I thought you made a commitment to me before you made a commitment to that, to your boss man.
Tell him why you're mad, son.
You know, it's like, I thought, you know, we was, before this job, I was here before the job, before the kids, you know, I was here before all of that. So you got to remember, you made a commitment to me. So it's like, what happened?
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah, I had to actually, what was a couple, I want to say maybe about a month and a half back, say to my wife, you know, I'm every time we go out or we're doing something, the focus somehow turns to our child. And I understand that, you know, the baby has needs and we got things we got to do. But at the same time, if we out here looking for something because daddy needs shirts and you're supposed to be helping your man with these shirts, and before we can even get to the store, saying to me, well, can we swing by Babies R Us? Well, can we go over here? Well, let me stop and stride right because I want to look at these shoes. You know, she needed, no. It's not about the baby today.
Tell him why you're mad, son.
Oh, me.
Tell him why you're
you know, of course, you know, you say it with a little bit of bass in your voice and whatever. Well, you're just talking to me incorrectly. And, of course, you just want to flip it and bounce it. And it has nothing to do with that. It's the fact that I've talked to you calmly. You agreed with me before we left. Oh, yep, it's going to be about you today. I'm not going to mess it up. I'm going to do this. And we're going to go and blah, 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 blah. So then why in the car are you asking me about Babies R Us? Why, when we get there, are you saying to me, can we swing by Stride Right? Then, because I'm frustrated and I know that you're not going to get it out of your mind, you can't get it out of your head. Going back to the multitasking, you're not going to get it out of your head unless we do it. So I go over there and then I'm just standing there, not really engaged. Mad at me. But why are you mad at me? But going back to, how is it my fault? You knew I didn't want to do that. You knew that I had no interest in doing anything surrounding the needs of the baby today, because it wasn't the baby's day. It was mine. Somehow you took it and you made it into something else. That's frustrating. I'm telling you, especially when you talk about it, you carve it out. You know, you sit there, you create the plan, and I say it all the time. I said it on the call last week. I think I said it even before that. When they call in audibles, then I got to bring the blitz. I got to bring it. Bring that tight end down and put him in motion. Then I got to shift the defense. Got to. I mean, and then, but here's the thing. Then when you get sacked, you can't be mad that I sacked you. I mean, does that even make sense? It does not make sense. But that's the part that I think we're talking about here, is the fact that they're calling these audibles, they're doing these things. The priority's not there. And it's like you're always taking a back seat to stuff. You're not seeking out proper resources. You're not using your offensive coordinator and the people up in the booth. You just calling plays down on the sideline when all you can see is side two. You need somebody up high. But that's what ends up happening. And it's very frustrating because as men, you know what, we'll get on this call, we'll talk about it, boom. Not even do that. We'll go to work. Hey, man, listen to this scenario. Run it by somebody with a couple people that you feel comfortable with. You know what I'm saying? You'll get on the call, holler at your brother, holler at a cousin. You know, holler at somebody. Get on Facebook. If you're on Facebook, throw it out there and get some feedback. But it's like in these situations, we're talking about people that are, spouses or significant others that are very private. Well, they don't do that. And then when you try to talk to them about it, it's like it just gets turned around. And that doesn't make any sense. And that's hard to swallow when you feel like you're not a priority. Because that multitasking during text, the Facebook, and being on that, and all this stuff, man, you feel like, wow, am I a priority? Because you're right. I was here before all of this. We were dating before Facebook even came out.
It's true.
You know, before cell phones even got hot. clues. So it's like, man, this is really simple. It's not hard. It's like, okay. Because here's the thing. As men, you know women can really make you feel crazy if you're not into what they into. So you got to sit down, turn the game off. Not just mute the game. Turn the game off. You know, calm, face up, eye contact. Literally go page by page and look at stuff and be engaged. And it's like, you'll fake it till you make it. But it's like, they don't even fake it till they make it. I mean, it's blatantly sometimes like, look, I ain't doing it. What? I had to do all of this? I mean, because you all hit on the head earlier with being late for different things. I got to the point now, I just leave my wife. She knows that.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. We it doesn't do me well probably for a couple of days, but I have to weigh out. I'm always at that crossroad. Like, is it really worth her being mad at me probably for like 2 or 3 days about, or should I just sit here and be a little late? And it's about a 50-50 toss up. Sometimes I say bump it, I'm out, and I just bounce.
You're like, yeah, it's worth it. Bye.
Yeah, because here's the thing. It's like, you are a big grown person. We talked about it again. The fact that when you're going to her stuff, you're on time, you're respectful. Because here's the thing. If nothing else, you want to convey and put her in a good light. You're not going to show up somewhere, be all disheveled, not on time, having her late to a function with maybe colleagues or friends or whatever. You would expect the same thing from her.
Yep. And you know if she's mad, it's going to be hard for her to not wear it on her sleeve.
Exactly. So it's like, wow, okay, well, let me go ahead and position my wife for a nice evening for us there and do things. But it's like, this is not rocket science. When it comes my turn that I need to go to something, I shouldn't have to either leave you or give you a fake time. Why?
Folks be looking at you like, that's your wife? Wow. She's
yeah, I mean, and many a times, hey, I thought your wife was coming. Yeah, me too. Me too.
Wow. Good point. It's 10 o'clock, and I do have a monkey wrench. But I got to throw a disclaimer out there. But it's raunchy. This is a raunchy monkey wrench. And I'm begging you, don't get personal with this one. Answer the question, don't get personal. This is a poll. Hopefully it's going to be a poll on Google tomorrow, because I want to know this answer to this question, and I hope you guys can help me out. But it's actually a two-part question. The first part of the question is, should a married woman wear underwear to bed?
No.
No, I mean, what do you need them for? What do you need them for? I mean, think about it. I mean, that's just my question. And it's raunchy. I know it's raunchy, but
no.
With the exception of that time of the month. Oh,
I think
boy.
I voted twice.
one week a month.
Oh,
no.
Man.
I mean, think about it. We talk about the sweatpants, the wearing untracted stuff. And then we've been there. But here's a twist. Your wife could have on a hoodie and no drawers, and it's all good. Think about it. I could be wrong. It could be a hoodie and no underwear, and you ain't complaining about a thing.
Oh, man.
What was the question again?
You got lost after the question.
So I, like, missed probably the key word.
The key word. The question was, should a married woman wear underwear to bed?
A married woman with her underwear, what?
Come on, cuz.
My
does a married woman what?
Come on, cuz.
Married woman wear underwear to bed.
To bed?
Come on, cuz!
I don't care personally. If I know within me, that
I'm going to sleep anyways. I really don't care.
I'm going to go to sleep. But if I know that, you know, whatever, I ain't got a problem taking them off.
Yeah, I understand that. I understand. I mean, you know, and if you want to put the work in, that's great.
It really ain't work. It takes a couple seconds, you know. Even she is. I'm not. It's like, you know, because she's the one who's sleeping, so she may, like me, you know, maybe too personal, but I got to sleep with something. I can't just sleep all jiggly wiggly, you know. I got to have something on me.
Okay.
That's mainly because of my kids.
Okay, understood. The second part to that question is the reason for pornography. That's the second part for that. The second part, because we've already been over the whole pornography thing, so we know that there is a thirst for pornography in marriage. We already know that.
There is?
But the question is, why is there a thirst for the pornography in marriage? If certain things were to go down the way they should go down in a married couple's bed. Now, help me if I'm too far off base.
All right, wait a minute. You got to rephrase word that. Follow it all. I'm trying to follow it all.
He was saying
okay.
That, you know, if she is not, you know, wearing the sweatpants or whatever, then would there be a need to revert to or go to or seek pornography in the marriage? That's what he's saying.
So if you're taking care of home, then I don't need to be thinking about porn and wanting to be at the strip club and doing all that stuff.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, well, that's hands down.
There you go.
If you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, then, yeah, I mean, that's hands down. I mean, because here's the thing. We talked about this before. If I want to do stuff with you, if I'm asking you to do something, why would you deny that? You are my wife. I'm coming to you. I'm not going anywhere else. It's kind of like I'm a it's crazy, but it's like I'm going to start with the main door, which is you. Now, if that door doesn't work, I will hope I don't have to venture around to the back door or side door. Maybe the strip club, pornography, or something like that. But it's like, that's crazy. So, yeah. If you're taking care of home, then we shouldn't even have to worry about that.
It works.
I mean, and it goes back to the question you just posed, the first part of that question. Simple stuff, like, if I'm saying to you, hey, don't wear, you don't need to wear no panties today. I mean, you with me, what's up? What's the deal?
Thank you.
Simple stuff like that will add up. After a while, you'd be like, this is not rocket science. This isn't, it's not like I'm asking you to go out in the backyard and let's make love underneath the stars and the neighbors look out their window and see us. This is, we in our house, in our bedroom. Why do you have to wear panties?
What? Why do you need them?
What you need them for? Right. I mean, you
know,
don't need them.
You don't have a shirt on. You don't have a dress on.
It's like it seems like it's an extra barrier. You putting up barriers and hurdles and obstacles.
Yeah.
That's just
tell them why you're mad, son.
You began.
I mean, but do we look at it that way? Do we look at it that way? Sometimes you got to stop and think, man. Why are they there? I mean, you know. Okay, but what do you need them for? You see what I'm saying? We haven't got past the sweatpants. Don't put the sweatpants. That's ridiculous. Don't come with sweatpants. I mean, just don't do that. But we know that already. But what about the other piece of what do you need them for? That's just my question.
They ain't doing nothing in the night. Unless your name is Lightest off of Peanuts, and that's your security blanket.
Exactly.
Because they ain't doing, I mean, what are they doing? Nothing. So you sleeping in those. You taking a good pair of panties you can wear during the day when you need barriers and hurdles and obstacles for all those men out there that are thinking crazy. You need all of that. And instead, you want to bring it and bring that to sleep. For what? Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Yeah, that's a sore spot right there. I'm glad we on this one. I done had that conversation. I shut that party down. Shut it down.
Good words. Anybody else? There's some people. There's a lot of people on the call, and there's some people we haven't heard from. If there's anybody that hasn't got a chance to tell them why you're mad, son, please indulge.
Well, I wish I was mad, but I don't have nothing to be mad about. Good right now.
Okay. Good right now. Right this second. I understand. I want to touch on something Peyton said. And I understand a husband and wife should have a meeting of the minds. Been together a couple years, a few years, even let's just say 3 years plus. You should have a meeting of the minds on certain issues. Okay? Just a little bit, like where you can get that eye-to-eye contact and you know what time it is. You see what I'm saying? When your kid is acting up in Walmart, you got that eye-to-eye contact, you know, because you're going to figure out which one is going to snatch up the kid first. You already got that meeting in mind. That's already handled. But certain things in a marriage, you got that meeting of the minds. And
yeah.
Sometimes they just say, I know what time it is, but I'm going to elect to do something else. I'm going to elect to ignore the signs. I know that's what's supposed to happen right now at this time, and I'm going to dig a little deeper. The kids are gone. Ain't nobody in the house but y'all. It's whatever time of the night, and it's all good. But I'm just going to choose to ignore the signs. Anybody know where I'm going?
Yeah, I know where you're going with it.
I know exactly where you're going with it.
Yeah, I'm helping you pave your driveway right now.
I'm going to choose at this particular time to ignore that signal, and I'm going to go a different direction. I'm going to say, hey, let's watch a movie.
Yeah, that's stupid. that's dumb.
Somebody
yeah.
tell me why you're mad, son.
That's dumb. I even ask, you know what, I'm going to help. I'm going to do the lower third of your driveway, and then I'm going to work up and help you. I take it a step further. You out of town, and you gone for a long time. And you come from being gone a long time. Now, you done talked on the phone every night, boom, bam, you know, talked about other things, whatever. But you gone. You been gone for like a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks. Now, tell me why you would want to choose to just ignore that sign when you get back of, I haven't seen you in 2 weeks. Why would you even want to ignore that? Like, it doesn't even make sense. It doesn't compute. Or what you should be doing is in your mind saying, you know what? Yes, my day is going to be hectic when we get back together, but I haven't seen this person in 2 weeks. And I'm going to work through this stuff that I need to so I can focus my undivided on when we get back, especially since the person is coming back and wanting to be with you, which means they missed you. Didn't mean they had somebody, a jump off where they were, and they came back and didn't want to have any time with you. Like, you know, I'm kind of tired, you know. I'm just going to get the shower and get to bed. No. I'm coming in excited to see you. Why would you choose to blow past that?
But, Pete, what would happen if the opposite, just like you said, what would happen if you came in? It's like, hey, what up with you? I'm going to go ahead and just turn on in. I'll holler at you in the morning. What would happen then?
Yeah, that would get ugly.
That's a myth.
There would be a million questions about women. Because here's the thing. the pattern is to come in that way. So if I come in differently, it would be crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But I see where you were going with it. I see where you're going. If the kid's gone, you got it to yourself. Why are you watching a movie? Yeah, we can watch this movie. Is it porn?
No. We can watch it after.
You know. But I'm serious. I hear you on that one. That's crazy.
I mean, think about it. Should date night end up in a friendly cuddle?
Isn't that every night?
Not every night. No, he's talking about date night. date night. We y'all know date night. When date night, should date night end up in a cuddle?
Dude.
That's a whack date.
Yeah. Date night is exactly what it is. It's date night.
Okay. Help me out, brother. Help me out. You just lost me.
It's date night, man. It's grown folk date night, man. Think about the end and goal of all dates when you are courting, before you get married. At the end of the date, the whole reason to go on a date is to get to the prize.
It's crushing.
Right.
No pun in it.
Yeah, let's
mess around with it, you know.
The bylaws for married date night are just a little different than not being married. Because there are a whole lot of other things that come into play. Like, y'all had to plan for this. Y'all had to get a sitter for the kids. Y'all had to figure out schedules to get it together. You had to actually put it on the calendar. Some people have to put intimacy on the calendar because marriage is so stressful and so preoccupied. You see what I'm saying? So now you have this time. This is a date night. It's not a let me get to know you. Oh, I know who you are.
Yeah.
We just need some time alone.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That should not end up. I mean, this is just my opinion. Please tell me if I'm wrong. That shouldn't end up in a friendly cuddle unless your scheduling is wrong. You picked it on the wrong night. You know what I'm saying? But if you didn't pick it on the right, I think that it should be. Yeah. But again, I could be wrong.
I think sometimes the date night piece had that explained to me one time, because it's so hard to get an opportunity to, I guess, feel connected and feel like a woman in some aspects or whatever. The whole point is based around the connection through intimacy and other ways, and hopefully it'll lead. We hope it leads to that. But sometimes what ends up happening is you get those date nights, they'll fall asleep on you.
Yeah.
Because they're just so tired from everything else. You know, when things are going good, you playing the game, okay, let's take the bath, and okay, let's eat dinner, and okay, let's watch this movie. Well, they don't want to watch this movie. But I'm watching this movie, and then I look over, and you knocked out. Wow, thanks, date night. Date night.
Okay. I will ask an honest question. And I'm going to ask an honest question because I know we got some honest people on this phone. If we see that, we see eye to eye on most issues. But is that a buzzkill? When you think about it, you go out, you do what you're supposed to do. I understand. We're supposed to date our wives from time to time when we can. But when it's a situation where it's like, okay, you know, and if you do it right, I'm talking about, you know, you have a couple drinks or whatever the case may be, you may go out dancing, whatever it is, everything is right, and then you get home and it's like, I mean, Chris Rock did it in the movie. The brother took two or three Viagras because he knew it was dangerous. He came upstairs and the water was good.
Oh, man.
You see what I'm saying? So, I mean, it is what it is, but is that a buzzkill? And you're like, yeah, when you go back to work, it's like, man, how was your date night?
It was all right.
What gets it was off the chain? You know what I'm saying? You want to come back and be like, it was off the chain. I can't wait till date night again. But if things don't go as we plan them, then it'd be it was all right. Somebody tell me if I'm wrong. All right, tell them why you're mad, son. Anybody got anything else? Patrice, if you're not mad, tell us why you're happy.
Tell us why you're glad, son.
Tell us why you're glad, son.
I think he might have stepped off and got even gladder.
Oh, no, okay, I'm talking on mute. I was talking on mute, man. My bad.
Oh, okay.
Can y'all hear me now?
Yep.
I was sitting there just yapping on mute, thinking y'all can hear me the whole time. But, yeah, I mean, right now, my wife and I believe we're on the same page. We've come to a point where we know each other. We know the good, the bad, and the ugly. And we both go to bed in a, you know, I go to bed with no top and some bottoms. She goes to bed with the top and with no bottoms. So, you know.
Wait, I asked you, please, refrain from all that information.
I'm just keeping it real. I'm keeping it with the conversation that's been going on all night.
Oh, man.
And date night's great. So, you know, even we're tired sometimes, you know, like I'm working a late night tonight because I got a couple of plans I got to put together. But, you know, if we don't make it through the night, you know, I get up at that 5:30 because I got to get up anyway. You know, we take care early in the morning. Stinking breath and all.
TMI.
So, you know, it's fun right now, man. I'm having a time of my life. Man.
Well, let me throw a wrench in your plans. Let me throw a wrench in there at 10:30.
All right.
You know it's gonna be only temporary.
That's
because
okay.
You know. I just don't understand. When, just like you said, we get on the same page, you know, everything is going great. We had the good date night, unlike what y'all talking about earlier. And then it's like a few days later, something happens. And
you're
right back at square one.
Hey, you know, I'm always the one getting in the doghouse now. I'm saying that thing daily.
But it's like, why is that? It's like, why is everything, you know, you just talk, everything is on the same, everything is smooth. And then next thing you know, 3, 4, 5 days or a week later, it's like, man.
Your fault.
We done messed up.
Hey, you know, I forgot to do something or...
Yeah. Right back to square one. Only temporary.
I didn't do something on the to-do list.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Or they just could have a bad day.
Whatever.
Yeah, you get it. Because they had a bad day.
Oh, man.
How many times have we seen that?
Yeah,
they had
a bad day
at work.
Yeah, that'll ruin them.
And, you know, my rule is we'll talk about how the day was, but I'm not really trying to bring the work day into the household if I didn't have to. If somebody pissed me off, you know, because you get home, you want to do some type of relaxing. But, you know, sometimes they want to keep it in the household and give it to everybody. Kids, you get there, you're like, hold on, what's going on here?
And that's a difference. That's a difference in men and women, because we have a bad day. It's like, hey, you know, I'd have had a bad day. I mean, it's like, let's just do what it do. But on the flip side, if they have a bad day, you better get out of the way. I mean,
well, not even a better, I just get out of the way. You're right, it is crazy. You don't want to be in it. It's like you go from DEFCON 1 to DEFCON 5 fast.
Hello. Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we can turn it off and turn it on. No matter. We can leave it in the car.
Yeah.
Especially if it's date night.
Right.
Date night,
especially if we're going to get that cat. Man.
Uh-huh.
Now, real quick.
Leave it in the car.
Gone. That's crazy. You know how crazy this is? You got to do all this, and then it's almost like you doing espionage on your own marriage.
You James Bond.
You got to be godly at your own marriage and figure out, okay, if I take this duct tape and this crossbow, maybe it would bridge the gap in the fact that we are having difficulty right now.
Oh, man.
That is wild, man. That is wild. But look, here go one, man. I don't think anybody brought this up, but let's just go on and be real about the situation here. These special occasions, don't they drive you crazy? You know, we talked about this a little bit last week about getting special treatment only on holidays, birthdays, anniversary. What happened to when? Yeah. What happened to when?
Okay.
When we were in the honeymoon stage and all, it was, you know, everything go.
Every day was Father's Day.
Mad,
yeah.
Every day.
You know, they didn't worry about the hair sweaty, you know, you sweaty, everybody go. But now, you know.
I don't know.
You have to deal with just having the hair wrap and handling business. Don't even worry about the head. Wrap it up.
You just keep getting duped.
I think it's on purpose.
Yeah, I second that. It's a conscious decision
that's
that you're making
come up with.
Something.
Yeah.
I mean, it legitimately is. And I hear what's been said earlier about, oh, well, maybe it's something that you're not doing, you're not making a connection, and she don't want to do it, blah, blah, blah. Sometimes it... You know, there's a respect thing deeper with blah, blah, blah. No, sometimes it's just, it's a conscious decision that you just make that you're just not going to do it.
And her mind is made up, so just suck it up, get over it.
Yeah. I want to talk about something else. And this is not a really, I'm hoping that this is not a tell them why you're mad, son, even though that's the topic. But I want to talk about how we deal with weight gain. And that's what I want to talk about. I mean, because certain times it's an issue. But we have to be delicate. And it's an issue on both parts sometimes, but it's not about us tonight. It's about telling why you're mad, son. But anyway, when that comes about, is it a situation where sometimes you get to the point where it's like you're not even trying to curb your appetite? You're not even trying to realize that there's certain things that there was a way that I met you, that you're not that way now. Can you get back to at least half of that? Without being too blunt about it, without being too, you know, crucially critical, but how do we get to that point where we say, let's at least talk about it. Let's figure out, you know, do you say, well, come on, let's do a new diet. Let's go work out together. I mean, what do we tell them?
Well, I guess, I don't know. I know for me, you know, the way that I started, my wife would always talk about she didn't have time to go to the gym because of kids and daycare. So for Christmas, I bought her a membership to Sport and Health. A one-year membership. So the way I look at it, now that you have this membership, kids can go to daycare, at the gym. You have no other excuse to give me. And, you know, being I'm a personal trainer, people always say, well, why don't you train your wife? I said, no. That's like having somebody work for you, like a family friend, run your business. It just don't mix. I said, because I have a tendency to be harder on her than I would be on the other one. And, like, and it's a perfect point you brought up. She's like, oh, you know, now I've got to work on this stomach. And I look at her, I'm like, you say that to me, like, every other day, but yet you're drinking dark sodas. You didn't work on your abs the whole time he was gone. So, you know, when I hear stuff like that, it's like preaching to the choir. I said, don't tell me what you want to do. I call it talker size. Because you talk about doing it, but you ain't necessarily doing it. You talk about something. So it makes me mad.
Yeah.
Because, I can't get on her like I can get on my client because my client's going to catch an attitude. I really needed that. But if I tell her, it's like, oh, my gosh. I said, that's why I don't train.
Yeah.
But I get mad.
I commend you, man. I commend you. I mean, really. I mean, to even step out there and say, for Christmas, I'm going to give you a membership to the gym. I mean, I know it was along with other gifts, too, but that is at least saying, okay, I'm going to do my part because I might criticize. I mean, you know, sometimes we criticize it, but if we step up and help, the same time, that's not as bad. You know what I'm saying? But I definitely commend you for at least stepping up, you know, and getting in the game, so to speak. Anybody else?
Well, you know, things, you know, my wife, she talks about me all the time, and she says, you know, you got to get rid of that belly. And I say, I am. I'm exercising, going to play ball, I'm doing exercise, and it goes down. And, you know, on time it goes back out is when I have to sit down and work all night or something. I don't get a chance to go and play. So, you know, we have an agreement that on Wednesdays and on Sundays I can go play ball. That way, that's my exercise. You know, that's one way we exercise. And then for me, one thing I did is I bought a puppy. I said, this will help you get out and exercise because the dog has to go walking. So, you know, this gives you an opportunity to get outside the house, go walk. I walk with you. The kids walk with you. And it's you know, it's something that's another extra curriculum because you got another child in the house, a dog. But it gives you the right, on the other end, is exercise. Because you're walking. So you're burning off all these calories daily because you have to walk the dog. You know, and then if you're concerned about your weight, I got the bike machine downstairs and the sit-up machine downstairs, which both of us know is collecting dust right now. I don't even know why we buy all these electronics and then reuse them for the first 30 days and then they collect dust and you hang your clothes up on them after you iron and stuff. But that is an issue, is, you know, we're getting older in age and we start to talk more about our weight.
You know, what I found is it doesn't matter what incentive or what you purchase or what you do. It's got to be in their mindset to do it. If they don't want to do it, they're not going to do it. And it doesn't matter how much you say or how much you bring to the table or whatever gratuities or bribes you'll offer. It just doesn't matter. You know, I think some of the biggest incentives for them or things that put them over the edge is when things in that closet don't fit like they used to. You know,
oh, yeah.
And that face gets all poked out like they're 5 years old and they're a little disheveled by that. And then all of a sudden, magically, it's, yeah, let's get after it. Let's tackle some things. And, oh, okay. But it's like, it's nothing you really can do. But it is frustrating because it's like, you don't even want to try. Well, like, why wouldn't you want to try?
Yeah, you know? It's like, well, you won't help me.
Well,
you
know, but the thing about it,
like,
we help you, but it's like, it's,
you got to have the initiative and go out there and do it yourself for if you want me to help you.
Right. I mean, I can lead you to the water. I can't make you drink unless you want me to drown you.
I don't think
you want me to do that.
I know the other thing, I can't remember the slogan, but if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. So I didn't want to be part of the problem, so I said, okay, I'm going to be part of the solution. At least that way I know that I did my part. But, you know, I can't force anyone to do anything. And,
right.
And, you know, I told her my motivation is my track picture when I was in college. Blown up. You know, I didn't blow it up. They just, Penn Relays decided to blow it up and give us a free picture, so I took it. But when I look at that, I know I'm not going to get back to that state, but I'm going to try my best to come close as possible. Because I just know with the diet and the age and all that, but that's my motivation. And plus, as being a personal trainer, and like, you know, she kind of got offended a couple years ago. I said, when you are a personal trainer, and you are giving out advice or training someone, they kind of look at you thinking that, okay, you need to look like one yourself. That's just the way I, you know. So if I'm coming in there and I got a big gut, my legs aren't defined, you know, I'm not well-groomed, am I going to be an effective trainer? Probably not. Make good football coach, maybe. But as a personal trainer, I can't see the client's looking at me for motivation. They're like, well, what are you doing? You know, it's almost like going into a barber. Well, I can't even use that. A lot of barbers I know don't cut their hair. But
mm-hmm.
but I still wonder, well, how come your head messed up and you a barber, you know?
But at any rate, you know, I kind of look at that. So, you know, whoever, your spouse, whoever, other, they have to draw from something. And it can't be anything that you say or do. It has to be something that they find from within, because in the end, I always say, that's your body. I can't take care of your body. Only you can take care of your body. I can do everything in the world, buy you this, give you that, but if you don't take care of it, it's not going to be taken care of.
I think it goes back to the priority thing we've been talking about a couple times in this conversation. It's like, is it a priority for you? And then if I'm expressing something to you as your spouse and then trying to offer some encouragement or pointing something out, I mean, am I a priority? I mean, you know, when I met you, you were this way or whatever, or we set out on a goal together and you just flaked off the goal. I mean, where's the priority in that? And, I was talking to one of my friends, and he was saying that he and his wife were going through a tough time because she was picking up weight. So because she was picking up weight, she was having body image issues, and they weren't really being intimate anymore because she didn't feel like she looked how he liked her to look. So she wasn't doing it. And to me, and I've said this before, that's a crutch. I mean, if you are concerned about your image of your body, then do something. But then when you don't do something and then you take something away from me that you know that I'm looking to you for, that's a problem. And it's like I was trying to share that with him without being really direct, because I was getting amped about it just thinking about it. Cause I'm just like, that's BS. You got something that you can control. But because you choose not to control it, then you make a decision that then impacts him. I mean, what in the world? That doesn't even make sense.
No. I think, would it be crazy for me to ask, is that just borderline disrespectful? I mean, things like that.
Yeah. When you think about it, if you say something or you come at it really aggressive, because he was saying, you know, I talked to her, I said different things, blah, 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 and he was saying that she was saying that he's insensitive, he's not trying to help the situation, and he's just like, and I was like, this is crazy. It doesn't make any sense. But that's the type of crutches that I think sometimes women create, and somehow, as men, we get duped into giving them the crutches and saying, hey, I see you got the right one, let me give you the rest.
I got a friend that's going through the same thing. Funny that you say that. Same thing. Said they've got intimacy problems, because of the weight that she's gained. And we talk about not wearing certain things to clothes. Well, these particular women wear more to bed because they don't want to be seen without clothes on because of, you know. You see what I'm saying? It becomes a situation where you have to hide from your own husband. Because there's no discipline there. There's no, well, let me figure out how to be one of those women in the gym every day trying to get back to where I used to be. You used to be there, so we know that that body exists. But we need to figure out, you know, how can we get back there? Instead of letting it go and you worrying about your husband going outside the house for romance.
Right.
He definitely ain't getting it in the house.
Nope. But see, in that situation, and I hate to say this because this is just flat out wrong, but it's like, I mean, you can't, under the vows and the word of God and all the things, I do understand what you're supposed to do, but you, in just common sense terms, just using common sense, is that man wrong if you decide that you're just not doing it? If he's not getting that stuff at home from you because you aren't doing something that then impacts your ability to feel confident to be intimate with him, so he's getting nothing. Is he wrong? I'm not saying he's doing something, but maybe wandering or being out there, like I said earlier, going to the side door, going to that back door instead of coming through the front door, because the front door, for whatever reason, doesn't want to get WD-40 on it so it'll work and be greased. It just wants to be creaky and not open all the way. I mean, if that's the case, then if I got to go to the side door, back door, you could do self-maintenance, but you're not.
But you're not.
But you're not.
But you're not.
Because you're not. When I go out there or something happens, and I'm not really looking at you. It's like I can't see the forest for the trees because these some big trees now. They used to be little pine trees. Now we're looking at sequoias. And I mean, what? Am I wrong?
Is
that
wrong?
I don't think you're wrong.
But I believe that it goes back to that motivational. I mean, what motivates them? What is going to put them in that position to say, all right, my husband might have concern about my weight, so I'm going to go and handle my business.
You know, some initiative. Here's a motivational factor. Your husband is looking at somebody who's 100 pounds lighter at work, on the street, at the mall, at Walmart. I mean, it is what it is. These are true things that we're talking about here, gentlemen. I mean, it is what it is. And if that's not motivation, something wrong.
It's disrespect. I think that's, I can't think of it. You're not oblivious.
It's disrespect.
It's disrespect. I don't think it's anything else but that.
Yeah. But you're also doing it away from home, too. You're not doing that in front of
them. I concur.
But you're doing it.
Yeah.
You're doing it. We do it anyway. But then you're going to do it even more.
I mean, yeah. But it doubles. But the thing is that because you're not communicating, it goes back to Rodney's favorite word, communicating, somehow that there's an issue. And maybe we are too concerned about throwing hints instead of just coming directly out and saying it because we don't want to deal with that argument because we know it's going to be one.
But the fact is, we're arguing no matter what. Because if I'm not being direct with you, if I'm not throwing hints, if I'm not saying something about it on the forefront, I'm probably going to be saying something to you about the lack of me being intimate. So we're going to argue about it somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Throw a way around it. You know what I'm saying? It's going to come up. Because now not only are you not taking care of yourself with the self-maintenance, but now you're not taking care of my needs because of your own insecurities.
There you go.
So it's like,
wow.
You, not only are you shooting yourself in the foot, but I'll take it back. Now not only are you taking food off of your plate, but now you're taking off of mine. So it's like, I can't eat. Because of something that you don't want to do? For you? Come on, man. That's not even right.
Tell me again,
you trapped me. You trapped me. And even the smallest dog went back into a corner is going to fight his little way or her little way out. As much as you can, you're going to get out of it. And it started out small. I got a little wandering eye at the mall. Oh, goodness. Now I'm out here running, and you know what? Miss Walton is running at the same time I'm running every day. Hello, Miss Walton. How you doing? Oh, okay. You know, Miss Johnson at this bus stop with little Tiffany. Hello, Miss Johnson. But it sure looking right, Miss Johnson. What was that? Nothing, Miss Johnson.
Oh, man, this guy.
Trapping me. And it's not, I mean, come on, you got to help me out with that.
But it's true. It's true.
Trapping me.
He ain't saying nothing wrong, Rodney. He ain't saying nothing wrong. It's disrespect. You put me back on the block. Don't put me on the block. I don't want to be on the block. I want to be in the house.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? But you put me on the block because you got issues that you don't want to deal with. You don't want my help because I can't talk to you about it because now I'm being disrespectful. I'm being rude or insensitive or whatever you want to call it. So we can't have this conversation. Your girlfriends ain't going to tell you because y'all cool. You see what I'm saying? So it's disrespectful. Think about it. I don't want to take you outside. And it's bad.
That's crazy.
It happens.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, think about it. You got a comfy picnic. We got a comfy picnic, but I think I ain't going to go. You know what I mean? Not to the extreme, but we got to talk about those that's not on the call that's going through it. You know what I'm saying? They may say, hey, I don't want to go. we just, you know. And then you end up not going outside with your wife.
It's crazy. You know what I'm saying? You going to the beach and she got a full robe on. I mean, what?
Oh, the beach is out of the question. Y'all skip that. We ain't going to the beach.
That,
no.
You look at you walking around the house looking at the photos and saying, man, where did those years go? How did we get here?
I have no idea.
Well, I think I have an idea. A number two, a number four, supersized.
Golden Corral. I mean, I'm serious now. I mean, it is what it is. And we can take some of the responsibility, too, because we take our wives out to eat. And if we don't say anything, sometimes they won't say nothing. And they may go down and just order whatever or go to the buffet and go to work. And we already know how we feel about the weight.
Sometimes, fellas, you just got to take it over. I'm not going to lie to you.
You got to take it over.
You just got to take it over. I mean, I had to say to my wife one time, if another bag of chips comes in this house, you are going to come home and I'm going to take the same route that I did before you moved up here when I met with my nutritionist and got on my plan. Because a lot of times, particularly for me here, I make my own meals because I try to stay on a plan that I've carved out. I meet with a nutritionist and things like that. I try to get my wife on board. You know, she's doing her own thing, whatever. Sometimes she does it, sometimes she doesn't. But I had to just finally tell her, come in here with another bag of chips. Just come in here with one more bag of chips. And this is what happened. She called herself being slick, but she came in here with the chips, but they weren't in where they normally would be. They were somewhere downstairs in the pantry, in the basement, chilling in the cut. And she tried to, and this is the craziest of it, tried to lie to me and say, no, that's an old bag. Well, why is the date, like, right now? That's by now. You know what I mean? That's just a flat-out lie. Okay. So you know what? I ain't even tripped. But I remember what I had said. I think she thought I had forgotten what I said. She came back the next day. I came home from work early. Garbage bag. Went through in here and took everything out of here that was crazy. It was gone. I didn't care if it was open. I didn't care if it wasn't open. It was gone. When she came home, she was looking for certain things. They weren't here. Of course, that led to a discussion. Actually, wasn't a discussion. It was probably an argument. I'll go ahead and call it what it was. But the fact is that it shouldn't have to come to a point where I'm talking to you calmly about stuff. I'm taking, and this is what I think. The disrespect word is, disrespect word is so dead on. Because it is disrespectful. If I'm talking to you calmly and patiently and properly about something, It's because, you know what, I'm doing with you as you would do with me, and I'm hoping that we have the basic golden rule of common sense of do unto others as you have them doing to you. When I'm listening to you, I'm not being disrespectful. I'm focusing on what you're saying. I'm giving you my undivided attention. I'm applying what you've asked me to do. Now, of course, you want to judge it and make sure it's genuine or not genuine. You waste your time and energy on that. I don't have time for that. I'm applying what you've asked me to do. So I'm not being disrespectful. But if I'm talking to you about something and you're blah, 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 okay, then, you know what, I just got to take it over. Trash bag. All the stuff was gone. Oh. And when she was, where is it? You can get it if you want to, but you don't have to go out and get it out of the garbage can outside. And I know you're not going to go in that.
Hey, is there
all types of stuff going in that? So it was in the trash can. And we went hard. You know, she, you know, was frustrated and all blah, blah, blah. Claims she's been going and buy all this stuff and all this, and I can't control her and blah, blah, blah. Oh, my goodness. It was just stupid. But then after we actually had a conversation about it a little bit later when she wasn't his aunt, she worked with me, and we actually went through a lot of the stuff that I eat with the vegetables and stuff like that. We actually talked about some healthy meals. And now one of the things that we do sometimes, not often, is we cook stuff together. But it's like, why do you, sometimes you just, it shouldn't have to come to it, but fellas, you got to take it over. Because it's almost like they can do bad all by themselves, you know? But you got to step in and say, you know what, we're not going to do bad this time. We're not going to do calories this time. We're not going to do all this craziness this time. Or whatever it may respectively be.
Well, you know, there is the old double standard, and I think we had this topic not too long ago. When we talk about it last week, actually, let one of us go as men, go to the doctor and find out there is an issue with high cholesterol, diabetes, high blood pressure. Let your wife find out about it. Everything you eat is going to be different.
Yep.
They're going to watch everything you put in your mouth. You're going to get Mrs. Dash salt. You're going to get no this, no that. They're going to go take you to GNC store, all this stuff, because they don't want to lose you to a disease. But at that point, they're going to pretty much take over your entire menu.
Yep.
With no problem. And be on you. I've seen women tell her husband, no, whoa, you can't have that. You can't eat that. Without, you know. No, no, you can't eat it. Doc said you can't have that. You can't eat that. But let us flip it back around and put it back on it. Because women get high blood pressure, too. Women get diabetes, too. High cholesterol, all that stuff, too. You see what I'm saying? We don't want to be, insensitive to the point, but there's also underlying health issues that come with the overweight as well.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Hereditary stuff.
And I know some of us on this phone, our wives have said, hey, you can't eat that. No, that's not good for you. No, stop doing that. Stop eating them sweets. No. I ain't bringing you no cake home tonight. Stop eating the frosting. You know? Stop bringing home wheat bread and stuff. What do you mean? What's up with this wheat bread? You see, they're trying to make us healthy. But when we flip it and say, let's flip it around and get you back healthy, then we somehow become insensitive.
Because here's the thing, it's going back to the respect, the disrespect. Because what's the purpose for us really getting them healthy? It ain't getting them healthy. Well, in some aspects, it may be getting them healthy or helping them with the eating because you are concerned about their health. Seven times out of ten, it's because more than likely you want to get that body back to where it was before. And in their mind, that's not the right reason.
No.
It's not the right reason. Because you just want me for like your physical essence and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, yeah. What's wrong with that? We married. Yeah.
We want to take them outside. Tell the truth. We want to take them outside.
If you say it that way, they don't, because again, that goes back to the conversation. Here's a question for telling you, man. Do women enjoy sex? Do they enjoy, like, not lovemaking, I mean sex. I mean, it's dripping off of you and sweat is dropping in their eye. Do they enjoy sex? Do they enjoy, do they enjoy just you in a zone, and I mean you in one of them zones where you had a Gatorade, you done got your protein for that day, and you 35, 40, 45 minutes. Do they enjoy that?
Oh, yeah. I believe they do.
Oh, yeah.
I think they do, but not as much as we do. Because if you think about it, this whole thing about, hey, I'm trying to work with you because I want you to get back to a certain, because it's like, I like to get back to the 45-minute sessions, you know.
Yeah.
You were my personal trainer. We had some good one-on-ones.
That's
and I like to get back to the sessions.
Yeah.
It's like, if they're not into that, or thinking about that to the same degree, I won't say into that, but to think about that to the same degree and capacity as you are, then some of these things that you're talking about, getting them there for it and the reasons why, you know, you were saying, hey, this is why I think you need to think about being a little bit healthier and working on stuff. They know where the end result is going.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a respect thing. Because I'm going to tell you, if I'm sharing something with you and it's for your own good and it's going to help you and I out, and more importantly, it's going to help me make good decisions for myself, come on, you got to help me out. Maybe I'm wrong.
And I still stick to my point because we want to take them outside.
Yep.
And the reason why I say that is because we've all dated sometimes we've dated women, not dated. Let me just not say dated. I mean, I'm not going to say dated with this particular one. But there's some women that we have been affiliated with that we just don't take outside. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, you're
not
right.
Not to be cynical, but you just, I mean, it's a whatever. I mean, they're in for that, fat to death, whatever you want to call it, but we ain't going outside. I'm sorry. You see what I'm saying? But the woman that you marry is the one that you're supposed to keep on your arm 24/7.
Yep.
Family functions, work functions, high school reunion, college reunion, all that.
Yep.
Graduation, all that. Your wife on your arm. When it comes to the point where you don't want to take your wife outside, there is a problem.
Yeah. That's crucial. You're right about the reunion.
It's crucial.
That,
the reunion is crucial.
The guy back to the couple just
said, man,
you know, she has something to do tonight, you know, and I just wanted to go ahead and I told her, you know, you go ahead and do that. And no, you didn't want to bring her.
Crucial.
You didn't want to bring her.
They want to know how you doing these days. Who did you marry? What dime piece do you have on your arm?
Yeah. You'd have been there, fellas. You know, you go back to the high school reunion, that college reunion. You remember Lil Bambi or whatever her name was. But man, she was the baddest one. And you get back and you're like, oh, goodness. I dodged a bullet. Bambi is now Thumper.
You don't even have to go back there. You know, we talk about Facebook. Look on Facebook. Some of the women
you're
like, what happened?
Yeah, I'm not even on there. People
that
send me some pictures of some exes, and I'm like, whoa.
They should put their high school picture up.
Yeah, but how much of that goes back into siblings? You know, when looking at the your spouse's parents and seeing how they live. And if they're, you know, eating unhealthy, you know, 9 times out of 10, your wife is going to be doing that same thing. Or, the older they get, the lazier they get. You can see that pattern with your wife. Like, you're following your parents' pattern. Is that something to look at?
What if the father used to beat the mother? Does that mean you're going to beat your wife? You see what I'm saying? Certain things have to stop. Certain things have to be eliminated.
You gotta shut some of that stuff down. I think for us just being guys, the whole concept of not even being willing to try, that's just unacceptable. I mean, that's just unacceptable. You gotta try.
You gotta try.
And I look at it from the standpoint of there's nobody else worth trying for other than me, your husband, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if I come to you with something, I should be right at the top. I mean, God is first, but I'm maybe two rungs down, if not the next rung down. Because it's like we together. It's you and me. And it's like, wow, if you're not listening to me, then I can't make suggestions, I can't encourage you, I can't do anything. Everything's gotta come on your terms, your time, your whatever. Come on. It doesn't work like that.
And it's funny because now it goes back to what we talked about earlier. It's funny how these calls work out. It goes back to earlier where they're not talking to that woman that's going to tell them the real. Girl, don't put 50 pounds on. Don't put that 75 pounds on. You got a man at home.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's going to give them that good advice. No, you got to be out there in competition with these girls at the gym. They in the gym. They staying in shape because they trying to get your man. You have to be on top of your game. You can't be on top of your game when you just letting it go, fall out the side. You know, you got, it's everywhere. No. You got to be on top of your game.
Oh, man.
Hey, look, we bring it. Tell them why you're mad, son. We bring it. We tell the truth. And if women hear about it, hear this, what we saying, I mean, it is, but I'd rather them hear it than not hear it.
Yeah. Take care of home.
Take care of home.
Take care of home.
Well, somebody else won't take care of home.
They sure enough will.
You know? Yep. And look, it's not just about women. It goes for men, too. Because some of us done got out of shape.
You know what I mean? We need to get back in there. We're not going to look like we did when we was 18. But like he said, if we're showing some initiative, if we're going to the gym at least 2 times a week, or we're getting 30 minutes a day, walk around the block with your wife or something, they can't say that you're just ignoring, you know, the fact. And we got to stay healthy.
That's right. This is Ms. Johnson.
Anyway.
Johnson going to be out there.
It is 11 o'clock. Go ahead.
Nah, I was just going to say that's right, because Ms. Johnson going to be out there with little Tiffany every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
You know, you don't every even got to go that way, but you're going that way.
You're going that way. And we got
to
be smarter than that.
No,
because if my wife is going to the gym, you got Arnold Schwarzenegger working out in the gym. She'd
yep.
be like, man, I really wish my husband was looking like him.
Right.
We got to stay on point, too. So it kind of works both ways. But like I said, tonight's conversation is not about us. We do enough of that all year. Tonight we going to tell them why you're mad, son. But anyway, it is 11 o'clock. There is no open mic because we just had it for 2 hours. Unless anybody's got anything else, we can keep it moving. Well, actually, hold on. Let me terminate this recording. Okay. Well, it didn't let me terminate it. So anyway, we'll just keep it rolling. But does anybody got anything else they want to bring to the forefront while we still have callers on the phone? Tell them why you're mad, son, or anything else. Maybe you're not mad. You got a praise report on your marriage, something that happened that was spectacular that you want to share with the group.
No, I'm good.
I can tell you what's not spectacular. What's not spectacular is the Lakers winning again. That's not spectacular.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey, sometimes somebody had to win it. Why not the Lakers?
Why not the Celtics?
Why not the Celtics? Why not the Knicks? Where are you? Oh, that's right.
Hey, yeah. Once we get LeBron, we'd be good. I think we're going to get LeBron, Josh, and Allen Iverson.
Goodness.
that's what the Knicks doing.
Come on.
LeBron, Bosh, and Allen Iverson. Because he broke. He needs to play again. Hello?